Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Something very interesting about our culture is how we're drawn to things that are dark, right? Dark movies, horror movies, zombie movies, vampire movies. These things are huge franchises. And even they make kids' shows about zombies going to high school and witches and wizards and try to pass that off as cute and harmless. But I don't know if you've ever met a witch or a warlock in real life. It's not harmless. But we live in a society that's intrigued by that. They're intrigued by the darkness and by dark things. But my friends, I want to tell you today, we are called to live in the light. So we've been talking about this for the past few weeks. What does it mean to live in the light? If you've missed it, you can go back to the series and listen to it on the podcast. But I'm going to dive right in today. Really excited about this. It's the last week we're going to be talking about this. My wife was asking me, are we still doing this series? Or are we going on to something else? I said, no. Why would I stop the series and miss going head-to-head with Halloween? We're definitely going to do it. Let me take you on a broad stroke. And this, as I was in my prayer time, this was just so powerful as God was sharing this to me. In the beginning, I want to start at the beginning so that we can see something very important. When we read through the lens of God's light, when we read the Bible through the lens of God's light, we get an even deeper revelation and perspective on Genesis. And I want to take you to Genesis 1, 1 through 4. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and what? Darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Just right there, at the beginning of our narrative, at the beginning of God speaking to us, there's something so profound. God came down, God said, let there be light, and then God separated the light from the darkness. God may operate at times in the dark, but he creates light. Sometimes God will work in the mystery and in the chaos of your life, but he is producing light. There are times that God steps into something that's wrong. There's times that God steps into something that is chaotic in our life, in our society. But his not only intention, but what he's going to do is produce light. Because God is the God of light. That's the first thing that we see. He's a creative God. He's creating, and he creates light. So we know the enemy tries to bring darkness and cause confusion and lack of clarity. And many theologians believe the reason why the earth was in darkness is because the devil and his angels were thrown to earth. And they had caused chaos. And they had caused all manner of violence and darkness. And so God comes down. He brings light and clarity. And when God steps in, he will always illuminate every dark environment. James 1:17 says, whatever good and perfect gift is coming down to us from God our Father, who creates all the lights in the heaven, and he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. So God is not about creating shadows. He's not about creating darkness. He's about creating light. He's the Father of light. He created all the beautiful stars in the sky. He created the sun and the moon and put them in their place. So he's the Father of light, and he is the Father that creates light. And that's what James is saying here, and that's what Genesis shows us. He steps into darkness, and he creates light, and he separates the light from the darkness. This is important for us to understand. God, here in the first four verses of the Bible, he not only creates light, he separates light from darkness. This is important to get a hold of. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself. This is what the New Testament says. From them, says the Lord, don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. So God is talking. There's this narrative of light and darkness and the separation of light and darkness and separation of the things of light and the things of darkness. So part of following God causes us to have to separate from others that do not follow God. He says, come out from among them. That means as we follow Christ, it will cause us more and more to see things differently, to do things differently, to do things in a separate way than others are doing things. And this is exactly what God did in Genesis. He's separating light from darkness. Somebody say separate. Separate. That's very important. So just because somebody around you is doing something doesn't mean you have to do it, because you were called to do what? Separate. Jesus said, don't think that I came to cause peace, but I actually came to bring division in certain ways, right? He said, I come to bring the sword, and I'm going to divide even among households. I'm going to put a line in the sand and say, okay, here's a separation point. Either you're following me or you're not following me. So from the very beginning, God was doing that. When Jesus showed up, he was doing that. After that, the apostles understood that that was a theme, to separate light from darkness, to separate godly activity from ungodly activity, right? To separate righteousness from unrighteousness. Now, just because we are separating does not mean that we don't help people in the world and helping people in your life. But there is this concept of separating yourself from the activities of darkness. Separating yourself from that behavior, your thought process, your activities. My thought process, my activities have to be separate from the ways of darkness. Will you just say that with me? My thought process and my activities have to be separate from the ways of darkness. That's good. Sometimes when you say it out loud, it helps you to be able to process it. We're not meant to live in darkness. How many believe that? Raise your hand if you believe that. All right. So we're not meant to live in the darkness or walk in the darkness or anything along those lines. We're meant for something more. How many believe you were meant for something more? That God has greater things for you. Jeremiah says, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. We're meant for so much more. So separation is an important thing for us to understand. God also separated the land and the ocean. How terrible would it be if every place we went on the earth was swamp? It was just a mixture of land and sea, land and ocean. But the good news is the majority of our world is actually land or water. God wants us to have this type of clarity and this type of separation, right? Let your yes be yes, let your no be no, right? Don't be in the middle, don't pander, right? Don't operate in the gray space, but actually have clarity in your life. Know how to separate. He wants us to have clear separation between light and darkness. Let's go back to our friend James the Apostle. He said it this way in James 3:11-13. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. True wisdom comes from God. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. Do good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. There is a humility and a wisdom that comes from living in the light. Living in the life is demonstrated by the way we think and the way we act. We demonstrate that we're living in the light, right? So when we say, Jesus, save me, we come in to the family of God, but we prove that we're in the family by the way we live and the way we think and the way we operate. You cannot fake it for long. If you're living in the light, it'll eventually show. You can't fake it for long. If you're living in the dark, eventually somebody's going to find it out. The book of Proverbs says it this way: be sure your sin will find you out. You can carry a Bible under your arm, you can act religious, but guess what? Be sure enough, give it enough time, that darkness will come out if there's darkness inside. We have to learn to separate the light from the darkness in our life. Now, it's important to separate the light and the darkness. It's important to separate ourselves as children of light from dark things. I want to give you another important reason why we separate ourselves from the darkness. It's because the light rules over the darkness. Say that with me. The light rules over the darkness. You should get excited about this, right? This isn't about being religious. This is about getting empowered. The light rules over the darkness. So this is another important reason why Jesus wants us to see this and understand this. In the end, we find that light always wins. I don't know about you, but whenever I played sports, I'd like to be on the winning side. I want to be on the one with the guys that can play a little bit better, because I don't want to lose. I want to look back and see that I was on the right side. God's side always wins. There may be a struggle, there may be a battle, there may even be a war. There will be, but the light will always triumph over darkness. This is what Jesus said about the light in John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Listen, even in the most oppressive times in history, even in the most persecuted moments in history, the darkness is not able to extinguish the light. The power of hope, the power of the message of Jesus Christ cannot be extinguished. The light always wins over darkness. You can see it in nature. As soon as the sun comes up, the darkness loses. You can see it in your home. As soon as you turn on the light switch, the light comes on and the darkness leaves. The light always rules over the darkness. The darkness is subject to the light. As soon as Jesus shows up on the earth, he shows up not only as the King of the Jews, but as the King of Kings. And even the spirit world recognizes he stepped foot on the earth, right? They said, Jesus, what, son of man, why have you come before your time? Even just immediately they recognize, because the darkness is subject to the light. I want to tell you about who you are when you walk in the light, when you operate as children of the light, when you step into whatever environment the darkness has to recognize who you are. This is important because when you live in the light, the darkness will recognize your authority. At times they will resist it. At times they will fight back against it. But in the end, they will have to submit to what God is doing in you. And this is powerful, and it's a product of living in the light. Living in the light causes you to rule in different environments. Watch for a second God's methodology in Genesis. Genesis 1:14 through 18. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that's what happened. And God made two great lights, a larger one to govern the day and a smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. And God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the night from the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. God always sets light in place. When you operate in the light and as light, God will set you in your place. God will set you in your place to rule different environments. You'll see this word govern. God is building a house. Scripture tells us that he's building a house with living stones. He's using us, right? We're alive, we're active, we're in him, and he's building a house. So God is literally building his house with us. God is establishing his light upon the earth with you and me. Isn't that awesome? Not just any people, he's establishing his house with his people. And he is setting them up to govern and shine the light. God has called us to be kings and priests. Isn't that what Scripture tells us? God has called us to govern. Even back in Genesis, he told Adam and Eve that they would have dominion over the earth. And when we live in the light, God sets us up and establishes us to govern things of importance and govern environments that are important upon the earth. And this is profound when we understand this is what our responsibility and this is what we rise to. when we walk in the light. God sets us up to rule. Scripture says that we will rule and reign with him in high places, right? Scripture says that the whole world groans for the manifestation of sons of God. So if Jesus is the King of Kings, that means there's some other kings serving within his kingdom. I don't know about you, but I would like to be a king in the kingdom. You cannot be a King of Kings unless there are other kings within your domain, correct? So just as kings of past would have lords, right? Jesus is the King of Kings, and he's saying, I want to lift you up. I want to elevate you. I want my sons and daughters to rule. And so when we walk in the light, as Jesus walked in the light, it empowers us in a way to govern. When we live in the light, we begin to rule and govern things that God puts us over. You can't rule, though, if you still think in the darkness. You can't rule with him. You cannot rule part of his kingdom if you still act in the darkness, if you still celebrate the darkness. You can't rule if your actions are still governed by the darkness. So God establishes those who live in the light. God establishes those who are walking in the light. And I like that passage right there in Genesis 1:16 where he establishes two types of governments, right? He establishes a type of light that rules, different lights that rule in different ways, right? There's the sun, and it governs the day. And the moon, it governs the night. And then the stars, they are also governing in their own ways. So I want to tell you, some of us, God positions and he places in bright places, right? So we're like the sun. We're governing in places of light. Some of us are called to minister and to govern in dark places like the moon. And then there's other of us that are like stars in the sky. We have unique places that God, unique environments that we govern in. But I want to tell you that God wants to set each and every one of his children in place. Living in the light is a dynamic part of who we are in Christ. God wants us to live in the light from the very beginning. He designed the world through this lens. In the beginning, he separated the darkness from the light. Sometimes God works in the chaos of the darkness, but it's always to the end result of bringing light. We are meant to be children of light. We're meant to be agents of light, ambassadors of light, not to be seduced by the darkness of this world or returned back to the darkness that we came out of. We have a higher calling, a high purpose in Christ Jesus, and it is to walk in the light, to walk in the light as Christ walked in the light. It's a dynamic responsibility to live in the light, to share the light, to rule from a place of being children and heirs, to govern as kings in his kingdom. My prayer is that this message, this topic that we've talked about for this month, will be something that you take home and you pray and you meditate on. Because this is the high calling that God has called us to. God wants to elevate you to the place that he has designed for you in his kingdom. Will you bow your head and let me pray for you? God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here. It's not by accident that they're here today. It's not by accident that we're talking about this subject today, but God, you want us to live in the light. God, you want us to operate in the light. God, you want us to be your ambassadors. You want us to be kings in your kingdom. God, I thank you, Lord, for the incredible, the wonderful responsibility to walk in the light, to live in the light, to share the light. Let us grab a hold of that. Let us walk that out in our day-to-day life. And God, I thank you, Lord. As heads are bowed, maybe there's some people here that say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. You say, Pastor, I need to reconnect with him. I've kind of drifted in my relationship, but I know I don't want to leave without knowing that I am where I need to be with him. If that's you, or maybe you say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever really made that commitment. either one of those, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this prayer too. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for the power of your light. Teach me to shine for you. Thank you for what you did on the cross for me when you laid down your life to give me a second chance. I'm sorry for my sins and my shortcomings. Jesus, forgive me. Give me a fresh start. I want to live like you. I want to live for you. I want to live a life that pleases the Father. Help me do that. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.